To extend a Christian greeting to each of you this morning. It's good to be here with you, and certainly want to extend a warm welcome to our visitors. We're glad you're here with us. I invite you to turn your Bibles for a text this morning to Luke chapter 18. It's been good to be here already. Thank you, Anthony, for reminding us of the better things, some of the better things in the book of Hebrews there. I appreciate that devotional. I'll be doing a bit of the same format this morning with a lot of scripture reading. The message title is taken from verse 8 in Luke chapter 18. The last sentence of that verse is a question. It says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" The message title is, "Shall the Lord find faith on the earth?" I'd like to read Luke 18, verses 1 through 14, at this time. "And he," Jesus, "spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into a temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I found it interesting that the Lord Jesus saw fit to insert that little question between the experience in verses 1 through 7 and the parable in verses 9 through 14. And so what did Jesus have in mind as he shared these two experiences and this parable in the context of when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? We may come back to that in just a bit. But I'd like to take just a bit of a look at what faith is. When Nicodemus said, "What must I do to be saved?" and the disciples cried, "Master, we perish," and the woman with an incurable disease thought within herself, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment," and Jairus, whose daughter was dying, "Lord, come to my house." What did these folks have in common? Will he find faith on the earth? You know, that's a sobering question. In our minds, I am sure we're thinking, well, certainly he will find faith on the earth. If he comes when we're here, we do believe in God. We believe in him. So what is faith? What does it mean to have faith? I found a few definitions. Basically, a two-part definition here. Faith is a reliance upon Christ for salvation. We talk about the faith of our fathers. We're talking about the faith in Jesus Christ's sacrifice for our sins. And because we believe, God has forgiven, and we have a new nature, a new life, and he gives us hope for the future, and we call that faith. Faith is also the moral conviction of the truthfulness of God and the faithfulness of God and what he requires of us. So the faith that a person professes to have is confirmed by what he does after he makes his profession. The Bible makes a statement there in James, the devils also believe and perish. So believing in the Lord Jesus Christ isn't necessarily the faith. Although we must have faith in Jesus Christ to be saved, we believe. And what we do with after that profession confirms our profession of faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that faith, that belief that God is and that he will reward those who diligently seek him, shapes their lives and confirms their decisions are made in light of that. And their belief, their faith in God shapes what they do. It decides what they do. It helps them make decisions that are difficult because of that faith in God. They believe God, and so they do what God wants them to do. We could go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the chapter of faith, the Hebrews of faith. And we could notice that when God called them to do something, that their decision to do what he called them to do was the proof of their faith in God. Faith is something we need. Hebrews also tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I don't know if I have the full understanding of that verse, but there have been a few things that I've been thinking about. You know, we believe in God. This morning, we didn't see the sunrise, but if you are waking in time, you can catch a glimpse or soak in the beauty of the sunrise in the morning. The last mornings have just been awesome sunrises. And though we can't see God, the evidence or that God, we can see God in the sunrise. We can't see God, but that sunrise is proof positive to me that there is God. We can be affirmed in our hearts of that. And that's faith. We can't see God, but we see that evidence of his presence, and faith kind of completes the picture there and helps us believe in God, though we can't see him. We need faith these days. I'd like to read, go back with me to Luke chapter 8. I'd like to read most of the chapter here. Actually, I'd like to start reading verse 22. To the end of the chapter. I'd like for you to catch, for us to catch a glimpse, a feel of the situation here in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22. This was some busy times for the Lord Jesus and his disciples. Just a lot going on. Almost chaotic, I think, at times. Reminds me a little bit of the auction I was at the other morning. Had the privilege of attending an auction at 4 in the morning. And I was kind of surprised at how many people actually fell for it. The place was full and chaotic and noisy. And as I was studying for this message, I had to think about Jesus, because I think he was in a bit of the same kind of situation. I don't think it was an auction going on, but there was definitely lots of noise and things happening here, people coming to him with needs, one after another, and kind of mixed up with each other. And this was just a disorderly mix. And notice as we go through this portion of Scripture how Jesus set everything right. He just brought order to this chaos and just made everything right. He was able to work, but notice also that what was needed for him to work in these situations and bring order to this chaotic scene and to these needs and to these problems was faith. And that is what Nicodemus and the disciples and the woman with an incurable disease and Jairus and his daughter who was very sick had in common. They had faith. So notice that as we read Luke chapter 8, starting verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went to a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. As they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. He went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, or came back to this place again, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but charged them that they should tell no man what was done. What a tremendous story. And what a beautiful, powerful reminder of the need, the importance of faith. Faith in our lives, faith to God. What is your faith like this morning? If you think about what happened here, this would have been a tremendous faith builder for the disciples. Can you imagine spending a day with Jesus, heading out onto the ship, being caught in a storm while Jesus is sleeping, crying to him, Master, we perish. He gets up and speaks the word, and the winds and the waves die. And on the other side, in the country of the Gadarenes, and I suppose in Galilee as well. They're watching this storm, I suppose, some of them. And notice that immediately, all of a sudden, it just died. So I suppose they were kind of wondering about Jesus even before he got to the shore. As they landed, they met this demon-possessed man, scary situation, running around without any clothes on. He had chains on his hands and feet, broken chains. And Jesus bade the devils come out of him and into a herd of swine. I think another account gives about 2,000 of them. And as they entered those swine, the swine went crazy. And all went running over a cliff into the sea. Of course, the swine keepers were very, very upset and afraid because this was their responsibility. And they went running back to town to tell the story. Everyone had a pig, I suppose, out in that herd, came running out to see just exactly what happened. And they found Jesus, the man who had the devils, sitting, the man in his right mind, clothed, seated at the feet of Jesus. That's an amazing sight. I'm sure it struck fear and awe and wonder into their hearts, to the point that they told Jesus to go. They didn't want him there anymore. So he left. And he left the man there, told him to go back to his house and give testimony to the things that God had done unto him. A bit later, when Jesus came back, the people apparently had heard the story and received his testimony and gladly received him. They were waiting for him. All of them. It says they were all waiting for him. Almost immediately, a man who was a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, came and fell down at Jesus' feet and invited him to his house, an urgent request, an urgent invitation. His only daughter, 12-year-old, was dying. And the crowd was thronging in. At the same time, as he was on his way to the man's house, there's a woman crept up behind Jesus who had an infirmity, a problem that she had spent all her living upon physicians, had it for 12 years, and no one could find a cure, no one could heal her. Had also heard about Jesus and decided in her mind, I suppose, that, you know, if I could just touch his garment, I could get healed. He could heal me. So she crept up behind him and grabbed a hold of his garment. And immediately she was healed. Jesus sensed immediately as well that virtue, healing power had gone out of him. Turned around and asked, "Who touched me?" And disciples thought this is being a bit ridiculous because the crowd was thronging in. And how could you know who was touching you? I had a few different flashbacks about different situations as I thought about and imagined how this situation might be. I don't know if you've ever been thronged by a crowd, but if you've ever been to Kenya and you go out to some of the places where you pay your public water bills or your rent, or you may try to find some legal service, there's nothing like it. It's just a straight line waiting for your turn. It's just a crowding in. If you ever get the window first, I thought about that as I thought about Jesus being thronged here by the crowd. Disciples thought it's ridiculous to try to figure out who had touched him because everybody was touching him, I suppose, but Jesus knew. And the woman knew that she was not hid, and she came back and told Jesus what had happened and why she touched him and how that she was healed immediately when she did. And he said, "Be, daughter," an endearing phrase, "be of good comfort. Your faith, your strong belief in Jesus and what he could do has made you whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, bad news came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Someone came with the message that your daughter is dead. There's no need to trouble the master any further. Jesus, when he heard it, in sympathy, quickly said to him, "Fear not, just believe, it'll be fine." When he got to the house, he and a few of the disciples and the father and mother of the little girl went in, "Weep not, she's not dead but sleepeth." People who were there mourning laughed him to scorn, it says. They knew she was dead. So he put them out, reached out and took the little girl by the hand and said, "Maid, arise." Her spirit, her life came back. She rose straightway. And Jesus commanded them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished. Faith in action. And to think of, as we think about what faith is, just a reliance upon Christ for salvation. I had to think about Nicodemus as well. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That faith in God works in our lives, something that we can hardly explain. But faith in Christ, number one, is very important for our salvation. We must believe. Believe in the finished work of Calvary. Believe that Jesus died for our sins, shed his blood for our sins. And as we look to him in faith, believing that sacrifice was for my sin, personally. The Lord reaches down and does a work in our lives, cleanses us, gives us a new heart, a new life, new purpose, new strength, dwells within us. That's what faith does. Faith is a reliance upon Christ for salvation. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. There's just no way that we can serve God without believing in him. And secondly, it is the moral conviction that of the truthfulness of God, that God is faithful, and that what he says is true, and what he asks of us is our responsibility to do as we say that we believe in him. So very important for us not to try to divide that. Faith in God, believing that what he says is true. And that comes right down to us today. In the practical things of life, Jesus' teachings for us, we go back one chapter there in Luke 17. The disciples in verse 5 just make a simple request to the Lord. They said, "Increase our faith, Lord. Increase it. Increase our confidence in you. Increase our faith in believing that Jesus, were it not for Jesus, we would be lost. Lost in our sins. Were it not for the faith in Jesus Christ, then we would have no power to do what God asks us to do." Faith is believing that God is truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So it is a conviction that what God asks of us in his word is our responsibility to do with his power. And Jesus told his disciples in Luke 17, He just said, you know, and I'm thinking this morning about our situations. Recently we were, well, let me read this scripture first. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. And what he's just saying here is that there are things that will come in life that are going to give us cause to stumble. There'll be an opportunity to stumble if we want to, or if we decide to. You think about what happened to these people in this story. The disciples on the boat. The woman with an incurable disease. Jairus and his daughter. These were difficult things. These were things that, as we empathize with their situation, we realize that there are things here that we could stumble over if that would actually cause us to give up our faith if we decide to. They're hard things. Jesus is just saying that it's not possible. It's impossible that offenses will come. In other words, these things will come. Woe unto them through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So take heed to yourselves, this is Jesus to his disciples. Be careful, take heed. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, or I'm sorry, and thou shalt forgive him. And the disciples in response, the apostles in response to that, said to the Lord, increase our faith. Help us to believe that this is really the way it is. This is really the way you want us to live. I don't know what you're facing today. Recently, we've had a few, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit a sister that I think many of you probably know. We were up at the hospital visiting Keith the other Saturday night. On the way out, my wife said, why don't we just stop in and see Ruth Zook. Ruth was a former member here at some of you for many years, and many of you know her story. Ruth has had a difficult life and is currently struggling, actually has been struggling with MS for a long time and is currently struggling with cancer. Apart from a miracle, probably terminal cancer. So we stopped in and visited with her for a time and just came away from there blessed. Blessed with her testimony. Blessed with the testimony that God cares about her and is providing strength for her in this difficult time. We came home encouraged. this is by way of information as well, a bit, so you continue to pray. Friday evening we had an anointing service down at Aquila Villa for Sister Keturah. She had a bout with, I think it might have been COVID here about 6 weeks ago, and was just not recovering. And as we shared there on Friday evening, again, we were blessed by her testimony. And just her willingness to bring herself and her problem to the Lord and just lay it in front of him, and then be willing to accept what he decides to give, whether it be healing or not. Faith in God. It takes faith to believe that God has a good plan when you're experiencing some of the difficult things that Ruth experienced in her lifetime and is presently as well. takes faith to call for the elders of the church and lay your problems out in front of them and ask them to pray for you. I'd like to encourage you in your faith, in your strong conviction that Jesus Christ is in control and he has something good for you. In spite of what you may be facing, if there's chaos or confusion, if there are doubts or fears, if there's sickness or infirmity in your life this morning, believe in God. He will bring order to your situation. He did it for Nicodemus, the disciples, for Jairus and his family, for the woman with an infirmity. He was able to work in each of their situations because of their faith in him. So take courage. When you put your faith in God, he will do the same thing for you. Let's pray.